World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yang's over here yelling something at me here in my multi-million dollar studio. Bear with me a second. I got you, Yang. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. The Bible says that. I just want to, before we get rolling here too deep, I want to thank all of you for coming in here every morning. You say, well, Coach, you know, we enjoy it too. I understand that. But I was telling Michelle yesterday, it just is, man, it's just radically transformed my life, focus of my life, and getting up every morning and trying to come here with some type of, I don't know, call it a show, whatever you want to. And boy, it makes me get up at 5:30 in the morning. I was up a little bit before that this morning and focused on the Lord first thing in the morning. And this is show, I got it written down here somewhere, Spencer. What number is it? 2,000, something incredible. 2,475. We've done that. Think about that. 2,475 times I've come behind here. And I don't know what you guys think. I don't think it gets old. Although Michelle would say to me, honey, you just say the same thing over and over, just in a different way. I do. But that's because the focus of it never ever really changes. The focus of the problem, it's a spiritual issue. And the answer to every one of the problems is the church. I mean, I don't know how else to dance around it, right? Matthew chapter 5, verse says, go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Fern, quit that dog over there. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Isn't that clear? And is it such a thing as secularism? Secular, well, we don't go into the secular world. The secular world is demonic. The secular world is what Christ has delivered us from. And we were just talking a little bit before we went live here this morning, thinking about back when I remember when they shot JFK, John F. Kennedy, in 1963, I was in the fifth grade. And our principal, Mr. Gall, James P. Gall, came up fifth grade. It was an impactful moment. He came over the PA and led the entire school in prayer. Fifth grade. Today they would do a noose around his neck and drag him out. And how dare you do that? And he'd lose his job. And folks, in a generation, it's happened in a generation. To think that here we are in public education, schools are going back in session right now. And what's going on in the schools? Well, we know this, they're godless. No, that's not true. They're not godless. They do have a God. The God is you, or humanism, or whatever it be. They have a God. And we pay, I don't know what your property taxes are, pretty hefty here in Ohio, and our property taxes pay to teach our children and our neighbors' children things we don't even believe. We don't even believe that. I'm sorry, I don't believe in evolution. Yet I have to pay to teach other kids that. Not my own grandkids. They don't go to public schools. Still got to pay to teach somebody else's kids lies because they call it religion. It's this evolution isn't a religion. So roundabout way on the opening here, I just appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all being here. I'm going to tell you something. Let me see if I found that here. I wrote something down here. Oh, I'll get that in a second. My sister-in-law Susie, who my brother Dan, who died over a year ago, a little over a year ago. Susie has been recently diagnosed with the C word in her neck area, and she begins. I don't know what was it, Michelle. 6 months of chemotherapy and radiation to kill that thing off. And just appreciate if you'd all just lift up Susie today. This 7 weeks of radiation and chemo. 7 weeks of radiation chemo Susie faces today. In fact, we were with her last night, and her daughter, God bless her daughter, is going to take her in for six weeks. So that's all good. And Liberty Mel's mother passed, and I know a lot of you have been praying for you out there. Mel, we're still praying for you. You only get one mama. You only get one mama. And so we understand that. And, you know, you think about it, this if Paul said, if we have, stay with me a second. Paul said, if we have hope in this world only, we are of all men most miserable. Think about that. If your entire life is wrapped up in here and now, the things you own, who owns your stuff when you die? Who owns that? That beautiful house that you have and you mow every day and you paint it and you take care of it. Who owns that thing when you die? And if your hope in this world is only possessions, you're of all men most miserable. All right, here's where I want to go this morning. Well, I got to get there because we got. Hey, Betty, remind me of this, okay? If I forget, Betty, don't let me forget this, okay? Here's the word. Can you explain the gospel? I'm talking to you. Okay, now Betty, remind me of that in case I forget, okay?
Yeah, and I want to say Clay Parker's wife, Kathleen, lost her mother too.
Oh, okay. Well, Clay was our condolences, whatever that means. We say, well, sending prayers. What does it mean you're sending prayers? It just means we're thinking of you, brother. But thank you. Hey, folks, my old Catholic training told me that my prayers would get people out of purgatory. So when we say to people, our prayers are with you, that really kind of comes from Catholicism, where we tried to pray people out of purgatory. Now we just pray for comfort, right? We just pray for comfort for the family and all that. So, okay, hang on. Hey, pull it up for me. Bible number one, King James Version, Proverbs 18. Is that right? Is it 18 today? Are you guys still doing it? Still doing it? Still staking? I did some staking this weekend. And again, here's what's amazing to me. I said it the other day. This is how I know the Bible's true. This wisdom is unbelievable. No man could come up with these precepts. Through desire, man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Wow. A fool, man, this is so good. We'll say this. A Democrat and most conservative Republicans have no understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. You understand how many people you go to church with that don't understand it? Hang on. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep as waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. The wellspring of wisdom. With all you're getting, the Bible says, with all you're getting, get wisdom. Wow. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked. What? We're supposed to love everybody. We're all God's children. It's not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. By the way, that's what's happened in Washington, D.C. They're overthrowing the righteous in judgment. They're locking up J6ers, God-fearing men and women, right? Not all of them, but most of them, right? A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes, meaning this. If you're a fool, you love entering into arguments. And you better come to the realization of when someone, remember this, a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he. It's like software. The Holy Spirit is a software. And at some point, you need to come to the realization that the person you're talking to ain't got the software. And it just leads to contention. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of the soul. The words of a talebearer, gossiper, are wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Raise your hand right now If you have been injured by the words of a tale bearer, people talking about you behind your back, go ahead, you can raise your hand right there. Have they wounded you? Wounds, the words of a tale bearer are wounds. He also that is lazy, slothful in his work, is brother to him that is a great waster. Wasting time. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. Well, I could preach right there. The rich man's wealth, is his strong city. What's your money worth when you, if you're a billionaire and you're laying on your deathbed, what is that strong city worth anything to you? Nah. And as a high wall in his own conceit. See, the rich man thinks he's okay. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Before honor is humility. I want to say this so somebody will understand this. We all like to be complimented. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you, it makes you nervous. I'll say that again. I hate listening to compliments about me. I hate it. I hate it. You understand? If I started saying just wonderful things about everybody, say something nice about Craig Nickel, and we all start doing, at some point, Craig's going to say, "Stop it!" Right? Because destruction of the heart is haughty. You start believing that stuff. See. He that answereth a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. How many people do you know that listen? Oh, I can quote editorial, whatever. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Time out. How many of you have a wounded spirit? How many of you, when you hear the name of somebody who did you wrong in the past, it still hurts? Wounded spirit. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. What? I got something I'm going to go to. I almost went right there. A man's gift makes room for him. Thank you, Michelle. Bringeth him before great men. That right there is my greatest frustration in life, I'll be honest with you. I have a very important word I carry. And doesn't seem like people want to hear it. But a man's gift maketh what? When it's God's timing, a plow an opening. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor comes and searches him. Right? In other words, you say something about, if you're adamant about, and then your neighbor comes and says, oh yeah, well, what about this? The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended, listen, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Oh my goodness. Anybody been deceived by a Christian brother? And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So whatever you talk about is what you're going to get. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, hang on. Listen. Important. Newsflash. When you get cancer, when you get whatever, I do it all the time, gout, whatever, do not own it. So what do you mean? Don't say, my cancer, my gout, my pneumonia, my COVID. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Look, you don't own that. You don't own that. That is not yours. Don't claim it. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Wow. How about this one? Whoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for that little brunette up there. and obtain a favor of the Lord, even though she's Yang. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answer roughly. And the man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Wow. I got a couple of those. If you got a couple that stick closer than a brother, you know what I'm talking about here. Amen. I'm going to open up real quick. Anybody got something to say? I'm going somewhere this morning. Just wonder if anybody wants to comment on any of that. Give you a second. Okay, so here's where I want to go. Pull up. I didn't number. You know me, I always kind of go to the same place. What you learned in church. Look at that picture, folks. Now, ask yourself this. Would that be the gathering here at Coach Dave Live in your life? What you learn in church is just that little bitty stuff over and over and over and over and over and over. Make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. And then you got into Bible study. Or then you started to hear from Mark Trump. Or you started to hear from Craig. And then you went deeper and deeper and deeper. And all of a sudden, you're just so much deeper in your knowledge and wisdom than anybody else. Why? Because you studied yourself. And you said, oh my goodness, how about 911 engineers? That's what I'm talking about, that website, 911 engineers, for whatever it is. When those engineers present all the evidence that the towers, planes didn't bring those towers down. Yeah, Gage 911, yeah. Yeah. And think where you are right now, you, think how many people you know who took the shots, COVID, that's above water. Everything you learned in church. And then you started to study it yourself, said, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. One more thing. I've come to the realization, this has happened to me more than once in the last several weeks. Question. Can you explain the gospel to someone else? Can you ask yourself right now? I use this illustration for me, the abortion issue. When I started, it goes back almost 20 years, when I started hanging out with Mark Harrington, with Creative Equal, and I would go out on the streets like I see Ray LeBlanc. God bless you, Ray. I'm going to throw this up here in a second. Ray LeBlanc. Let's do that right now. Go to Ray's video. Go to Ray, click on Ray's video. I'm going to make a connection here. You do that, Spence? It's number 2, I think, says Ray's video. There you go. Is that it? Yeah. Well, that's one of them. Yeah. Okay, Ray, click on the other. I made another one up there, the subscribe one. Okay, Ray LeBlanc made his own YouTube video, Irks page. So it's unbelievable. And Ray LeBlanc is getting people out into the streets. And he's recording it. And he's putting it online. You want to know how to do it? Look, let's go play the first one, a Dragnet violation. Ray made a video.
Well, good morning, Marshfield. Another day.
Hang on. Freeze it. Hey, Ray, what the heck happened to you that you woke up? You're just some cradle Christian, some guy just sitting in the pew. What the heck happened to you, Ray?
Yeah, I know. Isn't it amazing when you allow the Spirit to work in your life, the hunger just starts growing, you know, and you know, I know you don't like to be complimented, Dave, but you were primarily responsible to get me to
somebody
this point.
Mark Harrington taught me. I told
encouraged
you,
me. Right? You know, your coach encouraged us, and I, you know, I picked up that baton. I ran with it. So,
amen. So let me ask you a question, not just Ray, Hey, folks, who are you teaching? Who are you teaching? We're supposed to go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, love them with you always, even then. Who are you teaching? Each one, teach one. Each one, reach one. When we were coaching football, you know what I used to do? Coach Norm would verify this. Sometimes we would get into our small groups, centers and guards, tackles, tight ends, and we would have the older guys teach the younger guys. Rather than the coach having to do it, we'd say, okay, seniors, get those sophomores over there and walk them through the technique. Would you do that for them and coach them up a little bit? Because, folks, if you can't teach it, you don't know it. Hey, Ray, give me a boom. Huh? If you can't teach it, you don't know it. You don't know it.
Amen. Right? Don't tell them what you don't know. Tell them what you know.
Don't tell them what you don't know. Tell them what you know. Go ahead. So what's Ray? This is Ray LeBlanc. 6, 7, 8. I don't know how long it's been. We've known each other a while, Ray. You're just a guy in a van. Came to an event we had. And look what happened. Go ahead, Ray. Go ahead and play it.
Committee. Another drag queen show going on in town. It rained all day. So they moved inside. Otherwise, we'd be at Wenzel Park. But we just want to warn them of what they're doing to our children once more. We're not going to let up. Watch what's going on.
I love it, Ray. Well, you got some other guys with him, huh? What the heck?
There's our sign. Stop drag queen grooming of our children. The Wisconsin State Statute Law 948-055. In part, states causing a child under the age of 18 to view or listen to sexual activity is a Class A felony.
Hey, Ray, how many churches are jumping in with you? Huh? Now keep going.
Here's our buddy Roy. Hey, Roy, say hi to everybody. We're just doing a film. Hold your sign straight. We are coming for your children. That's their theme. We're coming for your children. There's Tom and Mike. Okay, we're not very large.
Hey, you've created a bunch of fools.
And then down at the end is Ben Hackamer. Let me see if I can zoom in on him.
Big Mike.
Jesus can set you free. Amen, he can. So we're just here as a welcoming committee right inside this building. The drag queens are performing again. But it's all right if they want to be there as adults, but they're bringing little children in with them, and that's our concern, is the children.
Freeze it.
Under
freeze
18.
It. Freeze it. Hey, Ray, it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the deepest part of the ocean to know this is going on and not do anything about it.
I told that to the city council members last week as well, that very verse. Yeah.
Huh? You delivered your own soul, didn't you? Now, folks, I don't want to. So anyway, God bless you, Ray, and everything that you're doing. Now, friends, you can do it too. Takes a bit of courage, doesn't it, Ray? Takes a little bit of persistence. You're in a war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Light dispels darkness. If we don't stand up and speak up and the church, man, it's the church.
Real quick, yeah, it's like in Revelation where you take the scroll. It's going to taste like honey in your mouth. The word is sweet to you, but there's bitterness involved in it too. This is, this is disgusting, and it's bitter to have to stand up and do it, but you've got to do it.
Got to do it. And Ray, folks, listen now. What do the majority of churches think of you, Ray? Huh? You're not loving? You're not loving, right? Ray, you need to share the gospel. Okay, well, good.
Well, real quick, too, the drag queen that put this all together, we communicate with each other. He's got my number, and he wrote back afterwards trying to rebuke us for what we're doing, and I'm sending him back scripture verses and stuff. So we got a rapport going. So, I mean, God opens up doors in unusual ways.
Amen.
Amen.
We plant seeds. Quit trying to convince people. Plant seeds. Because why? When you sow, you're going to reap where you didn't even sow. And if you ever lead somebody to the Lord, you can bet you weren't the first person to share the gospel with them. So share the gospel. And my old line is what, Ray? Tell them what you know. Don't tell them what you don't know. Keep control of the debate. P.S., come on in, then I'm going to show you something here. Go ahead.
My question would be, why do we think we're exempt? Exempt from the fact that the disciples were crucified upside down.
Oh, dude.
and we're just dealing with weakness, really.
That's really all it is. Well,
in the culture.
Well, not only that, we're not trained. We're not trained. I'm always bashing churches, right? At your church, do you have regular evangelistic outreaches other than feeding hot dogs or giving up book bags? Do you ever go into the lion's den? Do you ever go where the enemy is? Do you ever invade enemy-held territory? No, the laws protect us too. Why aren't we trained to do that? Okay, so here's the question I ask. When is that what it? What? Pull up what you learned in church. Pull that up for me real quick. Trying to coach you a little bit this morning, if it's okay. Monday morning coaching session. It's the very first thing, Ben Spence. What you learned in church. Oh, is that it? Is that what it was? Okay, anyway. Confused you. Okay, so here we go. Ready? Do you share the gospel? Other than Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Okay, have you been trained beyond that? Have you ever, I'm just telling you, have you ever, talking about me now, talking about me, Coach Dave Live. I've never in my life, I was born again on January 28th, it's right here in the front of my Bible, on my wife's birthday. I received Christ on, I want to make sure I give you the right date here. I don't want to lie to you. January 28th, where is it? Come on, Bible. There it is. January 28th, 1987. I was in church before, but I heard the gospel and received Christ January 28th, my wife's birthday, 1987. And the gospel is more than God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And I continue to credit Mark Harrington at Created Equal by getting me out in the streets and getting me to engage. At your church, in your whole life, folks, at your church, have you ever had evangelistic training? A class on how to evangelize in your community. Ever had a class on that? Some of them do, but most of them don't. They want you to bring people to church and the pastor will evangelize them. Do you know how one-on-one to share the gospel message with someone? P.S., come on back in.
The default answer for everyone should be, if it's our best life now, blah, 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 love everybody, then why were the disciples crucified?
Yeah, well, amen. And if it's just about saying a prayer and entering into the kingdom, why do you keep going back to church every Sunday? Why do you have to do that?
My brain just flipped on me here. Okay, so look, I'm asking you seriously.
Did you not share the gospel? Other than saying God's got a wonderful plan for your life and he'll change your life, he changed my life. That stuff's all good. Do you know how to explain to somebody that they need a savior? How to convince them of that? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Do you know how to tell the salvation story? Jesus died on a cross. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Well, he paid the sins of the world. What does that mean? What does that mean? Because the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die.
You sin, you die. Now, wait. Not immediately. You can live 60, 70, you can live 80 years engrossed in sin. You can go to church, you can be an elder to church, you can be engrossed in it. But you don't understand that the wages of sin, you pay. You go buy a pizza, you pay. You go buy a hamburger, you pay. You go to work, you expect paid. Wages of sin is death. Sin brings payment, requires payment. Somebody has to pay because the wages of sin is death. Now, this is important. Stay with me. I know somebody said, get on with it. Look, the average person that you're going to come in contact with, that you're going to try to share the gospel with, they don't understand. They don't understand. They think you just go to church and you're a good person and blah, 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 blah. So you need to start with them and ask them this. You ever sin? What is a sin, by the way? What is a sin? And they may not know. Say, do you ever tell a lie? Oh, yeah, I told, yeah. Okay, wow. Well, that's a sin. And there's a payment for that. Just like there's a fine. Fine of $100 for lying. And you're going to pay for that at some point. Yeah, you're going to pay for it. Because why? Because sinning brings death. And the wages of sin is death. So rather than telling people how much Jesus loves them, you need to go to them and tell them it's the fear of God that leads to repentance. You need to tell them, dude, you are in serious trouble. You're a spirit who lives in a body and you possess a soul. And just like everybody else, you're going to die. And when you come out of that die, your body's going to go into a grave. But you, your soul, it's going to courtroom. It's going to go to the courtroom. And God saw that everything was so messed up and everybody sinned so much that there wasn't any other way to do it. So he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son. I'm going to have a son that doesn't have a natural father. And I'm going to put that seed in a woman, and he's going to grow for 33 years. And as hard as it is for us to believe, never sinned. Never sinned. Never, ever sinned. But he came as a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, it says. That someday you're all going to stand before in the courtroom and you're going to give an account. All the charges are going to be read. Whether there's a bailiff there or what, I don't know how it's going to work. The Bible says the book's going to be open, and you and me and everybody dies, we're going to stand before the Lord. And he's going to say, well, what'd you do about this? What'd you say for this? What'd you say for this? You ain't got no lawyer there. What do you say about this? What do you say? You did this, 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 you did this. Well, you got to say for yourself, dude. The judge says, great white throne judgment. And you don't have anything to say. So God does the only thing he can do. Evidence proves you're guilty. What's the punishment? Death. You died. He who sins dies. The soul that sins, the soul, mind, will, and emotions, the person, the thing that makes you is going to die. Not a death. No, we don't understand the afterlife. We don't understand about this, but we know this. The soul, whew, the you, goes somewhere. All right? So Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, never sinned. They crucified him on the cross. What did he say? Whosoever will. And so Jesus paid the price of sin, paid a price he didn't owe. He didn't owe it. He didn't have to pay for your sin. But he said, I'm going to die an innocent man. I'm going to die, and I'm going to pay the bill for anybody who comes and asks to be on the reservation list. When you stand before God and the Lord says to you, why should I let you in heaven? Do you guys know the answer to that? Why? I'm on the reservation list. Jesus died in my place. See, he didn't just forgive the sin. He paid the price. The wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to die when you sin. Somebody's got to die. And since we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, nobody was going to make it past the judgment seat. And so rather than going and tell people how much Jesus loves them, You would do a lot better off, get greater in advance, if you began to tell them that they are not going to heaven. The wages of sin is death. Brother, without Christ, you are destined for hell. I don't know if you're going to go to hell. I don't know what kind of life you have, but I'm going to tell you this. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Has Jesus Christ, blood of Jesus Christ, is it applied to you? Because if it's not applied to you, dude, you are going to give an account in the courtroom on your own for what you did. That's the gospel, folks. Not how much Jesus loves you and he's got a wonderful plan for your life. Because for some people, having a wonderful plan for the life means screwing as many women as you can. That would be a wonderful plan. A wonderful plan would be being the richest man in the world and being possessed by what? That'd be a wonderful plan, wouldn't it? And unfortunately, the church is kind of going that direction, has it not? The wonderful plan is healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, poor Richard's almanac, Ben Franklin. No. The wages of sin's death. And if you sin, you're going to die, baby. You're going to pay the price. You don't have to. Why? Because that guy, when you're at the courtroom and the judge brings down the gavel, says guilty is charged. And it's time to sentence you to death. Your defense attorney stands up and says, Lord, on January 28, 1978, Dave Dobenmeyer accepted my sacrifice. I paid the price for Coach. And the judge is going to look at me. And he's going to look at Christ. He's going to bring down the gavel and he's going to say, guilty, but forgiven. The price has been paid. That's the gospel, folks. Isn't it Jesus loves you? He's got a wonderful plan for you. No, it didn't any of that. No, because can I tell you, since I received Christ, a lot of times that ain't been a wonderful plan. Somebody say amen. Huh? Sometimes I think, Lord, did you lose the plan?
Amen.
Did somebody hit escape on the computer? What happened to that wonderful plan? Because, see, it ain't a wonderful plan for my life. It's a wonderful plan for him through my life. We're given the wrong message. We're giving people the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Not the love of God. It's the fear of the Lord that drives us to repentance. So you get a Holy Spirit pardon. Christ was paid. Folks, Christ died. He paid the price for sin. But you got to get on the reservation list. If you think you're going to convince people, you ought to try to scare them into the kingdom. Rather than bless them into the kingdom. But you know what's happened? I'll shut up here in a minute. Modern evangelical Christianity, we're taught to share the love message. The love, 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 love. It doesn't say the love of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord. Okay, I'm going to open it up here. Let me ask you something. Raise your hand for me right now. If you would be totally and completely embarrassed if everything you did in your life was exposed for everybody to see. Anybody want to raise their hand on that? Huh? Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? They would all know that about me? No. Oh, well, the Bible says when you receive Christ, white as snow. They hit erase on the computer. We don't understand it. And when you've already received a commutation of your death sentence, you mean you're not going to go tell people about it? You mean you're going to continue carousing and sleeping around and lying and cheating? What? I don't know about once saved, always saved, but why would you do that? Why would you do that? If God's already forgiven you for all the stuff that you've done, what's going on? See, that's cheap grace. And that's what's in most of the church today. Cheap grace. Oh, well, God will forgive me. Well, will he? I'm not going to get into that debate. intentional sin? Do you think every woman who's had an abortion is going to go to heaven? Tell me you don't believe that. They are murderers. Now, hang on. Can it be under the blood? Can you receive Christ? Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, he remembers it no more. And so we go out to the abortion clinics and we tell those women who are going to go in there and kill their baby how much Jesus loves them. It's the wrong message. Wrong message. Ma'am, you are walking into hell if you go in there and murder your baby. That's the message, folks. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, not the love of God. The fear of the Lord drives people to repentance. I just thought that it was important for me to share that this morning because I can tell you this. The average, I shouldn't say that term, a lot of Christians that I come in contact with cannot articulate the gospel. They can't explain it. They can't explain it. You sin, you die. And if you keep sinning, you're going to die. But if you accept Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, you live. Because why? Mercy follows justice. You say, Lord, I'm a scoundrel. Not only have I sinned against all these people out there, I've sinned against you. Would you forgive me, Lord? Would you wash me clean in your blood? That's the gospel, folks. And because we've got this feel good, I'm okay, you're okay, name it, claim it, gospel everywhere we look, we've lost its meaning. I see it everywhere I go. People who claim to be Christians, we ain't got no understanding. You know how I know they don't have any understanding of it, Betty? They can't explain it to somebody else. And ask yourself this. Listen, those of you listening right now, there's, I don't know how a lot of you in here. Don't step on your toes. You ever led anybody to the Lord? Said, yeah, well, my cousin Joe back in 1976. Okay, since then? Anybody else other than Joe? Well, no. No, I take him to church, let the pastor do it. Well, what is a disciple? What does it mean to make a disciple? The Bible says, go and make disciples. Make disciples. In the middle of disciples, discipline. Go teach them to observe Christianity. Teach them to live it out. And for them, then, once they're saved, to go get others saved. That's the kingdom. That's how the gospel's supposed to work. And I'm going to tell you something. The average churchgoer has no ability to be able to explain it. Somebody come on in. I got more, but I'm going to shut up for a minute. Come on in. Oh, hang on. Let me lighthearted here. Pull up number four. Here's why people are not saved. Ready? This is a parody by John Christ. It's a minute 25, and this is American Christianity. Go ahead.
To Springfield now, where megachurch Cornerstone Christian is now selling personal seat licenses. The pastor says the new season ticket model will guarantee congregants a seat every Sunday.
Obviously, with the renovations of this new sanctuary coming this fall, it costs money. And I think this is a great way to really have an influx of cash into the congregation here. A lot of parents are stressed on Sunday morning, trying to make it to church. Are we going to have a, you know, seat on time? Is there going to be room for us? I think with a personal seat license, obviously this is, you know, an affluent area of town. So we thought, you know, why not as a church, you know, take advantage of that revenue stream.
Pastor Doug says this new ticket model will aid in traffic and congestion, but will also help in other ways.
There's a lot of people, you know, that we've heard in this church that, you know, are fighting over, that's my seat. I've been here for 25 years. This is where I sit. And there's a lot of confusion. We got a lot of new people in here that don't know that those seats are, you know, traditionally other people sit there. It's not obviously mandatory for someone to buy a personal seat license. We will have an auxiliary television set up in the pavilion on the west side of the parking lot if people would like to worship over there. And obviously, like, from a church leadership standpoint, I think it's important for us to now know which each of these seats are now licensed. It's just going to be easier for us to know who's a church and who's not.
Folks, this isn't real. This isn't real, but it is real, is it not? Is it not real? A form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such men turn away. Oh boy. Man, I've rambled for 45 minutes. Come on in, somebody. Rescue me here. Johnny, come on in.
Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
I just put in the chat, Ray Comfort, Living Waters. He's got a really good, about 10 minutes on YouTube. If you type in, are you a good person? It's in the chat, but it goes through that, you know, if any of us, you made me think of it when you asked yourself, if we exposed every little dirty secret we have, would you be embarrassed?
Mm.
And it just goes on to talk about, you know, our sin and that sin leads to death. And then in Romans, I believe it's 5, goes on to talk about love, then our faith in Christ, and then our life with Christ after we accept Jesus into our heart. But it's a really good cartoon tutorial of what it takes for us to reach the kingdom of God, and that's the bridge of Jesus Christ. We can't get there without him.
We can't even explain it, Johnny, to people. We don't even know how to do it. The Bible says, broad is the way and narrow is the gate. Many go to church, but few find it. The Bible says that, folks. Not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. It's all throughout the scriptures. People sitting in churches who are not saved. How do I know they're not saved? Because they can't explain it to somebody else. Didn't mean to cut you off, Johnny. Appreciate it. Are you saved? I remember having a conversation with a guy. Said, you know, just once I like to lead somebody to the Lord. I just kind of turn. What? Just once? Dude, from the mouth of the Savior, go into all the world. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What do you mean you'd like this? What? Well, they've done a good job of evangelizing in the schools, haven't they? Boy, they've sure done a good job with that one. Come on in, Betty.
Good morning. You're nailing it. I tell you what, I use that where the road is broad and the path is narrow.
Yep.
You know, my family and some friends even yesterday kind of got into it. And she's, well, I just got to go now, you know, trying to talk to her, you know.
Yep.
I ask them, if you die, would you go to heaven or hell? Well, I think I'm going to go to heaven, or I may go to heaven. No, that's not think or may. Do you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven?
Amen.
Yeah, no, and I know, because I even fall short of glory to God. We all did, but Jesus paid the price for our forgiveness. You need to get on your knees and repent and ask for forgiveness, you know, because you have to give your life to Jesus totally and be transformed. And when you're transformed, you know, because you will know by your fruits.
So Betty, it's easy. I don't mean to cut you off. Although I do.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay.
That's all right. Listen, folks, just ask people, you going to go to heaven? And they say, yeah. I say, why? I'm going to tell you something. They can't explain it to you. They can't explain it to you why. They go to church or whatever.
Because I'm a good person.
Yep.
And it's usually because they say, I go to church and believe. So I said, well, isn't it crazy that Satan believes? Mm. And he knows the scriptures better than me. But guess that's where right. He's going?
Yep. It's failure of us to tell him the truth. Brett, come on in.
In the book of Mark, Coach, it says, go and share the gospel with every creature. But if you don't get the coaching for yourself first, the actual individual player has to know the plays, be prepared, get his body right before he can be put in the game. But we got to be prepared. And that's what you help us do. I'll be encouraging everybody to get in the Bible and watch Coach Dave live tonight, speaking to a men's group in Franklin, Tennessee.
Amen. 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 James Thomas, go on, James.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians. We got every one of us in this, in the body of Christ, really. But I mean, anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 19. We are all ministers of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of a different kingdom. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, powerful, powerful chapter in regards to the gospel. I'll just read one verse. To wit, that God was in Christ, in Messiah, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and having committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, though God did beseech us, you by us, that we pray that you are in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So, I mean, God has already done this work for the entire world. I mean, it's just, he's just giving us this ministry. And, you know, you kind of go back to Psalm 32, I think it is. David says, blessed is the man whom the Lord will never impute iniquity. Mm. I mean, this is the gospel in our lives. You know, it's so easy. The gospel is so simple, and we make it so hard.
So, Jim,
First Corinthians chapter 15, then I'll shut up and let you go. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Jesus died. He rose again. He was seen by the 12. This is the gospel. They either accept it or they don't. There is no other stuff that we put in it can make it more powerful. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Let me tell you this, friends, from personal experience. I don't know if I should be proud of it or not. I make Christians nervous. When I'm in a group with a group of Christians, I make them nervous. I can't help it. They think, wear the hat. They're afraid I'm going to say something inappropriate in a Christian gathering. You anybody know what I'm talking about?
Only the ones who aren't truly all in.
That's right. That's right. And there are a lot of them. I make them nervous. They don't know what I might say. It's great frustration on my part. Joe Allen, come on in, Joe. Hang on. Hey, Spencer, real quickly. Yeah, I want to make sure I get it in. Don't let me forget. Pull up 2A. Go ahead, Joe.
By spreading the gospel, you do not know who you're going to affect.
That's right.
In this world. Like this weekend, we were cutting down more trees. We had 20 trees we had to cut down from the hurricane that came through here. And pray for us again, because we got another one off our shores here.
Saw that, yep.
Yeah. So you don't know who you're going to affect when you do any kind of prayers. So I prayed for, we had about 10 men, and I was, before we start work, I requested everybody, let's pray for our safety when we're cutting down these dead trees that have been damaged. About 2 minutes later after the prayer, two guys came up to me and appreciated it. They never thought about praying before they
worked.
Isn't that something?
Huh?
And I also want to pray for Mark Trump's healing. Keep him in your hands, O Lord. And we know Mark's going to come out of there in good shape. Keep his safety. Give his wife some peace. In your name, amen. Enough said.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I pray for this brother, Coach.
Sure.
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I come into an agreement with my brothers in this huddle, according to Matthew 18:19. There's any of us touching anything, it will be done that the Father may be glorified. So, Father, we come into your presence and we just ask God, according to Scripture and 1 Peter 2:24, that Mark being dead to sin and alive unto righteousness, by Amen. Jesus' stripes he is healed. So we claim his healing in Jesus' name. We say God in Jesus' name. You healed him back 2,000 years ago when you saved him. So we thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, James.
Thanks, everyone.
Isn't it amazing how much we want to pray for physical healing but not spiritual healing? Do you have any idea how many spiritually wounded people there are out there? It's a point on the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. It says in Ecclesiastes, greater in the eyes of the Lord is the day of your death than the day of your birth. So death is simply a transition. We miss people that die. We don't want them to die. But if they're in Christ, it's a glorious day when they die. We miss them. We're sad. But it's a glorious day. They talk about passing into glory, right? And so maybe if we focused ourselves more on spiritual healing, we wouldn't have as much physical sickness. I don't know. Pull that up there, Spence. Stay Awake America Tour, Knoxville, Tennessee. Just want to put this on your calendar if you can make it. August 30th, 29th, and 30th. There's a cost and everything. Pull real quickly, Spencer. Go down and pull up the speakers so they know. Well, who is it? Right up at the top. Speakers. Pretty good crew, really. Casper McLeod Band. Ken Valencia Peter, Dr. Judy Mikovits, Ann Vandersteel, Dr. Doug Frank, Mary Flynn O'Neill, Trinis Evans. These are good folks. Dr. Carrie Mate, Natalie Nicole, James and Robert Agee, Dr. Lynn Lafferty, Burnett Smith, Catherine Kemp, Pastor Devin O'Neill, Coach Dave, Dr. Tom Lewis, J.J. Carroll, Darren Conrad, R.C. Williams, and Juliana Ormond. There they are, folks. They're all going to be in those who can make it. Now, look. It's great fellowship. It's great fellowship. You know what I say about conferences? Conferences aren't any good if you don't take it to the field. But this is great information gathering. It's people that be like-minded, like-hearted. If you're close anyway down there, try to make a chance to get over. They have live streaming on as well. so you could do that. Just wanted to throw that in there. Put that in the chat, Spencer, for me, so that they can do it. Let me see. I got a minute left. Am I forgetting anything? Oh, yeah, I'd do that. Number three, quickly, I want you to see that. Number three. Only the truth shall set us free. Watch this. It's 2 minutes. This is a video made by Nick Searcy. Watch this trailer, The War on Truth.
I didn't want to make this too painful. I don't think our conversation is going to take probably more than 5 or 10 minutes.
You know what you do after the FBI investigates you for making a movie about January 6th?
You make another one.
With investigations related to child sex trafficking, have you reassigned any of these agents?
I don't believe we have reassigned people away from child exploitation.
Lie. So to be clear, the FBI moved you off a pedophile task force to a January 6th task force. Yeah.
We have not to date seen any evidence of anarchist violent extremists or people subscribing to Antifa in connection with the 6th.
Lie.
Antifa! Antifa!
If you are asking whether the violence at the Capitol on January 6th was part of some operation orchestrated by FBI sources and or agents, the answer is emphatically
not. You're saying
no? No.
Lie.
There's five people, okay, that want to come forward to say that we have facial recognition of all the federal agents.
100 officers were assaulted on that day. 5 officers died.
That was a lie.
Killed by a blow to the head with a fire extinguisher.
Lie.
Died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher.
Lie.
They fixate on the deaths that are not attributed to January 6th while completely ignoring what these really horrific deaths of 4 Trump supporters that afternoon.
The scariest thing about this movie is when you show people the truth, they believe it, and they come together as Americans. We unite. If this movie wasn't so dangerous to the cabal, if this movie wasn't so dangerous to the deep state, they wouldn't be trying so hard to censor it.
Don't be afraid, people. Go see this movie.
Hey, can I help you?
Yes, sir. Are y'all open today?
Not today, we're not.
Director Ray?
No, he's not here today.
Can I leave him a message?
Well, I can't give him a message. You got to call to the public relations department.
Yeah, we called and left a message.
We did that for a couple months. Could you ask him if he's still investigating me for making the last movie?
for me to do, Evan.
I appreciate that, sir.
Thank you, sir.
That's truly disappointing.
He'd just say the same lies to us that he said to Congress.
Coming up, John, that's good. It's so loud. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. See you tomorrow.